From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 1 and verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Very interesting is this little peep into the house of the apostolic fisherman. We see at once that household joys and cares are no hindrance to the full exercise of ministry, nay, that since they furnish an opportunity for personally witnessing the Lord's gracious work upon one's own flesh and blood, they may even instruct the teacher better than any other earthly discipline. Papists and other sectaries may decry marriage, but true Christianity and household life agree well together. Peter's house was probably a poor fisherman's hut, but the Lord of glory entered it, lodged in it, and wrought a miracle in it. Should these words be heard this morning in some very humble cottage, let this fact encourage the inmates to seek the company of King Jesus. God is oftener in little huts than in rich palaces. Jesus is looking round your room now and is waiting to be gracious to you. Into Simon's house sickness had entered. Fever in a deadly form had prostrated his mother-in-law. And as soon as Jesus came, they told him of the sad affliction, and he hastened to the patient's bed. Have you any sickness in the house this morning? You will find Jesus by far the best physician. Go to him at once and tell him all about the matter. Immediately lay the case before him. It concerns one of his people, and therefore will not be trivial to him. Observe that at once the Savior restored the sick woman. None can heal as he does. We may not make sure that the Lord will at once remove all disease from those we love, but we may know that believing prayer for the sick is far more likely to be followed by restoration than anything else in the world. And where this avails not, we must meekly bow to His will, by whom life and death are determined. The tender heart of Jesus waits to hear our griefs. Let us pour them into His patient ear.
King of glory here, who know each thought. so alone, who know each trial and testing pain, the hurt that is unknown. Oh, why can I not see thy hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrust in thee when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near,
among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he continues this series in the Law of God, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Christ, the End of the Law. The text is Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns first seeks to clarify what has always been a troublesome aspect of the text, that is, the meaning of the word end. As we'll see, the proper understanding of this term is the key to the whole verse. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Christ, the End of the Law.
Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. In many ways, this is an alarming passage of Scripture. If you understand it, you will never again rest comfortably on the mere fact that you are sincere in your religion. Here in Romans 10, Paul speaks of people who were sincere in their religious beliefs and exceedingly zealous toward God in implementing those beliefs. They were even diligent in their works to attain unto God's salvation. They were really trying to get to heaven. But, Paul says, they were utterly ignorant of the Lord's way of making sinners righteous and acceptable before Him. And so, depending upon their own obedience to the law of God, they rejected the gospel message of righteousness by faith in Jesus without any additional works of man. And it is very obvious that their sincerity and their zeal did not save them from the guilt of their Christ rejection, and so they remained in their sin, unsaved, away from God, and with the doom of a lost eternity hanging over their heads. Now their folly and their tragedy lay in the fact that they strove to achieve salvation by personal obedience to God's law, all the while ignoring the truth that Paul spells out for us in the fourth verse of this passage, in which he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Jews are far from being alone in that folly. I think there are millions, that's not an overstatement, there are millions sitting in churches all across America tonight who are committing the same sin. They are doing the very same thing, striving to establish their own righteousness before God. They are culpably ignorant of God's righteousness provided for sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus the words of verse 4 are very vital for us to grasp. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. And tonight I want to take some time to deal with this great theme of Christ, the end of the law. Now there is considerable difficulty in even understanding this text. This is one of those little verses of the Bible that you pass over and you imagine you understand it because there's none of the words in themselves that present any difficulty, apparently. But when you put it all together, and I'll ask you to do it just now as you sit there, just think for a moment, what exactly does this mean? And you'll realize there is considerable difficulty in coming to an understanding of this text. For example, take the word law. What is this law? There are those who would simply dismiss the text and say this is the ceremonial law, and the Lord Jesus brought it to an end by his own life and death. For reasons that I'm not going to go into at any length tonight, for the sake of time, that is an interpretation that I don't think will stand up to the context. Paul is speaking of something much more than the ceremonial law. Then there are others, and they will say with some degree, very considerable degree, of logic and Bible truth behind them, that this is the moral law of God considered as the covenant of works. And they are saying that is the meaning of the word law. There are others who want to take it in a much broader sense, and they'll say it is the moral law both as covenant and as commandment. So that's one thing we have got to settle. What is the law here? Then there's another word here that we have got to try and settle, and that is the word end. The word end. Now in English that sounds a very simple word, but even in English, even if you pronounce it as Dr. Barrett does, that is not the simplest word to understand. The Greek word telos may mean simply a termination. And that's how some people take this. If you believe this is the ceremonial law, then Christ is the termination of that law. If you are what I described last week as an antinomian, that is one who denies the law of God having any place in the life of the Christian, then you say Christ is the termination of the moral law. If you say the law is merely a covenant of works here, then you say he is the termination of the law as a way of righteousness to believers. The trouble with that is that the law never was a way of righteousness to believers, and you can't end what was never begun. So the word termination has real difficulties with it. Others take the word end to mean the aim of the law. The end of something is that to which it naturally inclines, or that for which God appointed it. What is the chief end of man? The Catechism asks. Man's chief end is to glorify God. That is his appointed end, the aim, the purpose for which God created him. And in Romans 7 verse 10, we read the commandment was ordained to life. That is the end, the aim of the law. Yet again, the word is taken by many commentators to mean fulfillment. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And Paul seems to use the word with that meaning in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. In what is in many ways a parallel passage, at least as expounding the law. Now the end of the commandment is charity. And the idea there is the aim and fulfillment of the command is charity. The Lord Jesus used the word in this very same way in Luke 22 and verse 37. He said, I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished. The word accomplished is the word ended. Must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And it's the same word. And obviously, he's saying the things that were written have got to be fulfilled in me, for the things concerning me now have their fulfillment. So we do have to consider then, what does the word "and" mean? And then, if that weren't difficult enough, we have yet another thing to concern us here, and that is a matter of translation. Now, in Greek as in English, the words are all very straightforward and very simple. But the order of the words in the Greek text is very different from that in the English text. The Greek text says, "For the end of the law is Christ for righteousness to every believing one." We have Christ as the end of the law. That's perfectly good translation. Sometimes in classical languages you'll bring a word to the very first of the sentence if you want to lay emphasis on it. Christ is the end of the law. But taking the words at their face value, the end of the law is Christ for righteousness. Now here's the question. This word "end," is that the subject of the sentence? Now I come back to your English class. Some of you are still at school, and you have English teachers who try to batter this into your brains. The verb "to be," which is understood in the text here, is a verb that takes what's called a complement. A subject and a complement. Now you all remember this. Is the word "end" the subject with Christ the complement? Or is the word "Christ" the subject with the word "end" the complement? Makes sense both ways. But I'm going to stick tonight. To be very honest, I cannot see any real reason for departing from the order of the words as Paul gave them. And as I studied this, it came home to me very simply. Paul is saying the end of the law is... And if you could take this next phrase as meaning just one word, Christ for righteousness to believers. The end of the law is Christ for our righteousness. Now that immediately shows us that the end that Paul has in view is not the termination of anything. Now there are other scriptures that tell us Christ terminated the old ceremonial law. But this is not the termination of anything that Paul has in mind. This is the aim and the fulfillment of the law. And what is the aim and the fulfillment of the law? Christ for our righteousness. That's what Paul is saying. Now, if we take it in that sense, immediately we can see not only does it make very simple sense, but it is the very heart message that Paul is expounding in Romans throughout this epistle. That's the message that he expounds in every epistle. This is the message that consumed the great heart of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, to whomsoever he preached, under whatsoever circumstances, this was the message that Paul preached. Christ, our righteousness. And when he was faced with the claims of the Jews and their view of the law, his answer was always one and the same. The law had as its aim and fulfillment Christ for our righteousness. Now let me put that in a very straightforward way. What Paul is teaching us then is that the aim of God's law is eternal life. Remember, the end of the commandment was to life. It was ordained to life. So the aim of the law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man. Let me emphasize that. The aim of God's law was eternal life on the ground of a perfect righteousness in man, which is achieved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law and established a perfect legal righteousness which God imputes to all His believing people. That's the message.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.